Hello, my name is Ernest Simon and I'm an internet marketer. I started building my business at the beginning of January in 2013, and that's when I met my coach Richard Mortimer. Today we are having an interview call about traffic strategies for your business. So Richard, could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello Ernest. Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I'm very excited about the call tonight, and basically I've been online for probably 5 or 6 years. I can't quite remember exactly when I started, but it's been, you know, an up and down battle, like with many people. That mostly is because it's been very much part time, and I think I've really gone through three periods, although it's regressed a little bit in recent days because of a family situation. But anyway, I went through the first period not knowing what I was doing and having plenty of time and making lots of mistakes. And I did have some success, but I probably learned more from the mistakes because there was a lot more of them than the successes. And then I had a bit of a breakthrough in terms of my own knowledge and ability. You know, over time that does happen. But it got to then that I was busy offline. I've got an offline business and we got very busy with that, and it really made it difficult to get online and do what I wanted to do. And it was frustrating because the offline business was taking a lot of effort but then not really building up in terms of an income. And I knew that if I could spend that kind of time on my internet business, that I would then have an income for life. That's what's so exciting about an internet business, is that it takes very little effort to get a very genuine business. The biggest problem people have is treating it as a business and not as a hobby. But I've never had that problem, actually.
And so first of all, I think it's important to understand why traffic is important to your business, because it's one of the key elements.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Traffic really, in a sense, is everything. But there is a caveat on that. Let me just give you a definition of traffic, just for people who maybe are just getting started and don't quite understand, you know, exactly what traffic is. Traffic really is a word that is used in internet marketing to describe visitors coming to a website. So we're talking about, you know, the amount of visitors. When you have a lot of traffic, you have a lot of visitors. When you have little traffic, you have little visitors. But just getting visitors to your website is not enough, because let's take this scenario. Imagine that you owned a women's clothing store. Now that's a very competitive market, women's clothing. There's many more women's clothing stores than there are men's clothing stores. And let's just say that you were very, very good at getting men to come to your high street store selling women's clothing. Well, what's going to happen? You're not going to sell very much. Now, maybe the odd husband will come and buy something for their wife, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not going to be the same as if you've got women coming to your store, and the right kind of women, obviously, just to suit the clothes that you're stocking. So traffic has to be targeted. It's not just about getting traffic. It's actually getting targeted traffic. And that's part of the reason for the call tonight, I suppose, is that, you know, it's easy to sort of talk about traffic, but there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. And that's the first thing, really, that it has to be relevant to your niche. It has to be relevant to your website if that traffic is going to produce an income. But without traffic, you have nothing. With no visitors at all, your website is just dead. And the more work you put into it, then that's just wasted work. So at some point, you have to put some kind of effort into generating traffic to your website. But it also has to be the right traffic.
Okay, I started off scratch and I didn't have any kind of capital to invest. And of course, I'm left with just free options. Is that a common problem? And is free traffic really working?
So you talk about your three options. What would they be?
Well, using free traffic sources, and
is it possible
to get targeted traffic for free?
Yeah, okay, very good, thank you. That's really, really important that people understand that. You know, a lot is taught about having free and versus paid traffic. Now, it's a little bit of a you know, people make a big distinction between free and paid, but actually there's a great similarity, and that is this, and that it takes resources. You know, in a sense, there's no such thing as free traffic, because the so-called free traffic sources, like you're talking about, cost time. So you have to have time or money, and usually you have to have both in order to really make a website work. And that really brings us to the most important point about traffic generation, and that is this, that the website has to convert. In other words, it has to work. It has to work to a certain percentage. So in other words, if you've got a free offer of some kind, you know, we call a simple page a squeeze page, because that phrase was coined when somebody realized that website worked very well in just having one option for that person, that is to give a name and an email. And obviously then you grab that email, you've got that email to use and market to again and again and again. And that, of course, is still a very good tactic in internet marketing. And it's a good tactic to use in all niches to get subscribers who are relevant to your niche and are targeted to you. But a good squeeze page, you're talking about converting at 50%. And it's quite hard these days to get a squeeze page to convert at that kind of level. And then you know, you need to have converting at 10%. I mean, what happened with me was, a few years ago, I was in a coaching program with Matthew Glanfield, who's now out of internet marketing, sadly, because he's very good. And he taught me a lot about traffic, actually. But in that coaching program, part of it was that he would split test my websites to his list. So he sent out an offer. Basically, he segmented his list and sent out four different offers, and the one that performed the best, then he marketed to the whole list, and it did quite well. But that the best site converted at 10% for a $7 product, and it actually still does quite well today, even though it's a few years old. It's just one something that people like and use. But you know, it took a lot of work to find out which of those websites was the one that converted. And this is the great problem. A lot of people have an idea, start working on a website, and they've got no idea how that's going to convert. They don't know whether it's something that people want. They just, you know, follow what other people are doing and just copy that. But, you know, that it doesn't help. So the first thing you've got to do is to get your website sorted, and then traffic becomes easy. In fact, when you have a website that converts, and you know what we mean by a funnel, so in other words, it's not just the people coming in on the front end. I talked about a squeeze page, a free offer. People can come and join your mailing list that way, or they might come to that paid offer I talked about, the $7. You know, that really, the purpose of that low-end offer was to get buyers on and build a buyers list. But obviously, I'm looking to market much higher ticket products to those people. So that means they come on and you have to email them regularly, interact with them, build up a relationship, and start offering them, you know, higher priced offers, particularly coaching. Coaching is a great thing to offer because it's actually very easy to do, surprisingly. And you know, I think you've got something that you can show people on that, and how they can set up a coaching program. But this is the whole thing. You've got to get that whole funnel to convert before you can really send any traffic to it. And someone says, well, how do I know it converts? Well, you experiment by sending some traffic. And actually, that is where Google AdWords can be quite good as a tester. You'd have to spend about $100 to $200 in order to test it. Okay?
Yeah, but can you just recommend any concrete free traffic strategies that someone could just take and implement right now?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'll do that straight away. So what I want to do for the remainder of the call really is to give the main the main traffic strategies that would be free or would be very low in terms of the actual input of money that you'd have to put into them. You know, not like Google AdWords, which is all about money. I mean, Google AdWords is very easy to set up, but obviously you've got to have the money to pay, and you can lose a lot if you don't do it right. You have to test and track that. So let me work through my three favorite free traffic methods. And basically that means that they are the ones that I've used and tested and I think are the best ones in terms of free traffic. I had a email from Kim Roach, who is called the Traffic Queen, just yesterday, and she's got a blog post which talks about 23 traffic methods, and basically that's 23 ways to get traffic to your site. And she's talking about getting 100,000 visitors to a website, which of course is a tremendous amount if they're targeted. But it's a huge amount of work, and really you'd have to be full time in order to do that. And I suggest that if you're full time and you've got the right product offerings, that you wouldn't need to go to that length. You know, this is the problem with free traffic. So I want to recommend these three techniques and traffic tactics as ways to get traffic, and they stand alone. But I'm going to give you the first one, which is really like a kind of foundation to all traffic generation. The reason for this is because obviously Google is a market leader in terms of search, and still people are going to Google to find websites. They're looking for something, they go to Google. That's their first port of call. Almost second, it either is second or it's very close to being second, and that is YouTube, which of course is owned by Google as well. But we'll cover that in a slightly later on in a different tactic. But so I want to just give you some search engine optimization tips, very simple ones, to get going. And I think this is when you have got a site that converts, then the thing to do then is to do some SEO on it and make it into your main site. And then you could well pick up some search engine traffic if you do it right. That's the idea of doing this. And of course, if the site is converting and paying you, then you should be able to pay someone to do this for you if you can't do it yourself. But it's always worth bearing in mind doing some kind of SEO on a website that does convert. The way that you would test it to get it to convert in the first place would be to put it into an email sequence, and then you would present it to your email subscribers, and you can tell from there which of the websites are the ones that are best to have. And then of course you put them at the front of the email sequence, and those are the ones that you concentrate on, and the ones that don't convert you drop off and you keep replacing them, and it's like a kind of thing which evolves all the time. So let me give you some search engine optimization tips, and we call that, of course, as you know, and most people listening, I'm sure, know that it's called SEO. The first thing is just do a little bit of on-page. So on your main page, the main domain page, the index page, do a little bit of SEO on there for your main keyword. So you put that into your title. You can write a title in a way that would give several keywords if you're clever. The thing to do is to find, you know, like if you say you've got a three-word keyword, then look for one that has got the three keywords in it, but it's four, and then five, and six, and so on, and then use that whole phrase. And preferably, you want the three that your main ones to be at the front, and then you've got the other ones as well, so you're actually targeting, you know, three or four keyword terms, the main one being the high-traffic one, and the other ones being the lower-traffic ones, but the ones that probably will convert better. So you cover all the eventualities there. So you put that into your title on your page. It's quite simple to do. You can do it in the HTML editor when you edit the page. Even a free editor like NVU, you're able to do that. And that's the basic SEO. But then there are some other on-page things, which, you know, there's mixed messages coming now, whether this is still effective. But as it's quite easy to do, I think it is worth doing. And what I've got to give to you so that you can give to your clients and your subscribers is a little like a patch. So it's basically a bit of HTML code that they put in their page, and they add in all their keywords and so on, and do it that way. So that's the on-page SEO, just simple, straightforward, making your page you know, attracted to Google and following Google's guidelines. But then the second tactic is a very interesting one. And this is, I learned this tactic from a very advanced marketer called Chad Kimball, whose products are always high ticket and always very good, very well produced, and he really knows what he's talking about. And this was part of one of the traffic courses I bought from him. And that is to build a silo site as part of your website. This is standard practice for an e-commerce site where there's lots and lots and lots and lots of pages, and you basically you link all the pages together that are relevant, and you put content on those pages in order to for them to show in the search engines and so on. It's called siloing, and basically this is a great tactic if you've got a bit of time. It's well worth doing. And what you would do is you go to the AdWords keyword tool, and you find keywords that are high traffic, low competition, and on less competitive niches you can have medium competition keywords. There's little boxes you can tick to decide on those and get the right keywords. And basically then you group your keywords together so that you've got effectively groups of articles by keyword. So let me just give an example. Maybe your main keyword for your site is traffic generation. This is not a good keyword, so don't take this out. This is not my only SEO I'm giving you here. And then you could have the different traffic tactics in the different silos. So you've got article marketing, you've got video marketing, you've got SEO, you've got blog posting, you've got pay-per-click, and so on. You know, all the different traffic methods. And then you'd have basically a whole series of keywords. First one we said was article marketing, so you'd have lots of relevant keywords to article marketing, and you'd write articles for those keywords, and then you'd link them together in what's called a silo. So basically what happens is that one links down, lower and lower and lower down into the site, and then the bottom article links back up to the top article. And the way that you do that is you try and make the bottom keyword of the first silo of articles to be relevant to the top keyword of the next silo of articles, and so on. You keep linking like that all the way through, and you can do number of articles down and then a number of silos across. So it's a bit like a sort of a number of tanks, as you might, you can picture the articles kind of like a matrix kind of thing. Basically, if you go to let me think now, it's the best place. Yeah, if you go to Google and you type in silo site structure, you'll get diagrams of how to do it. So that's the way to do it. But that is a way to get an attractive site to Google. And if you can pay for someone to do it, or you can afford the time to do it yourself, it's well worth doing. But obviously, that's not the first step. That's not the first thing people should be doing, because they should be making sure that the website converts first. When you've got a website that's a winner, then maybe that's something that's worth considering in order to make the give the site more exposure. And what you're doing by doing that is by presenting Google with content in that way. I mean, obviously, let's just say you had 10 silos and 10 articles in each silo. That's 100 articles. That's quite a lot of writing, or quite a lot of costs to get done. If you get them done at $5, that's $500 just to get your silo built. Plus there's a bit of time to put it all, link it all together, and you've got to do the keyword research as well. So it is quite a bit of work. But those articles can all attract through that keyword as you've chosen them well. And you could have 100 keywords then attracting your site, and suddenly your traffic figures are going up. And then also your other traffic methods are piggybacking on that effort, if that makes sense. So that's why I'm mentioning this at the beginning. So even though it's not something you do when you first produce a website, if you're committed to a site and you tested it and you know that it's working, then that is a great thing to do. And it's not very well known, but it's simple to do. And you can do it with a blog. You can do it with a static page. You know, if you've got a one page site, you could do siloing, and then you link back from the very last article in the last silo links back to the squeeze page or whichever page you want to send visitors to. To raise up, and what that's doing is all those articles are passing PageRank, and therefore the whole the page rank of the site goes up, and the targeted page, the page rank goes up, and then that's seen better in Google's eyes. That's one thing, as well as actually attracting traffic to each page by the keyword. So that's article siloing. Okay. And then there's an off-site technique, which I call the traffic magnet. I learned this from Sean Donohoe, who's used this. He's actually an SEO expert. He actually owned a search engine himself, but when Google became the market leader and started buying up search engines, I don't know whether he sold out to them, but basically he sold the business, and you know, it wasn't worth carrying on because it became too difficult to get any kind of traction. But he had done a lot of work to compete with Google, so he knows a little bit about how the spiders work and how the algorithms work and all that kind of thing. And he's worked out this way of getting really good Google traffic. So you're getting free traffic, and of course it's traffic that will last as well. And he also uses this tactic on his Twitter page, on his Facebook page, on any page that he wants people to find. He does this tactic, and it's what he calls the traffic magnet. The whole idea of the traffic magnet is to be able to do the old-fashioned link building, where you build lots and lots of links, and perhaps even quite fast, but you want to protect your site. If you were to do that to your main page, you've got a very good chance of it being delisted or even blacklisted, and then, you know, you really, all your effort's gone to waste. But by using this link magnet, you can avoid that problem and still get the page rank. And what you do, you basically piggyback off the high page rank of another site. So what you do, you set up an article page on a high page rank site like Squidoo Lens, WordPress, another Web 2.0 property. You set up a high profile article, in other words, a good article. So you pay for a good article written, you write a good article yourself, or you basically repurpose an article that you already have, perhaps on your blog. You might even take it off your blog and put it on to this place. You know, if it's not really getting visitors on the blog, then it's perhaps being wasted if it's a really good article and it's relevant to your website. So you go out and you actually create a Squidoo Lens or some other kind of Web 2.0 property with that article on. And that then becomes the main page of target. So you've got your main page that you're on your site, then you've got that link to this article on a Web 2.0 property, which if it's Squidoo Lens, it's, you know, it's page rank 8 or 9, and it therefore it's got a high page rank and it's seen in Google's eyes, and quite often if you choose a good keyword for that article on the Squidoo Lens or the Web 2.0 property, that would rank in Google itself. And then what you do is you link that to sort of four sub-articles, and you make those into like a kind of wheel. So in other words, they're linking round one to another. So if you think of 1, 2, 3, 4, one links to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 back to 1. Okay. And then what you do is, and those four articles should be related but different articles. Some people would spin those, and you know, if you're going to be doing a lot of this and you haven't got the time, then you really have to spin the articles, but it's not ideal for obvious reasons. You know, all these things I'm telling you, you know, there's compromises. This is the thing people have to understand about traffic generation. There is no hard and fast rule. It varies from niche to niche. It varies from marketer to marketer. So the best traffic generation for you, Ernest, and for me are totally different, even though we're in the same niche. And, you know, this is why we have to do a lot of work ourselves and a lot of trial and error and a lot of testing to make sure things are working properly. But if you can, get unique articles written for those. Again, you know, maybe you could take something from your blog, or you could look at an article and then, you know, there's no copyright on ideas, so you can take a really good idea and rewrite it in your own style, or get it written for you and create those four articles. So just think, let's go back and summarize. You've got a page you're targeting in Google on your own site, then you've got the Web 2.0 property, which could well be a Squidoo Lens or something like that, and then you've got another four articles on other sites, so not Squidoo, not the one you're using for the main article, but other Web 2.0 properties, hub pages. You know, I'm quoting the best known ones. There are lesser known ones. There's blog.com, for example. And then what you do is you have those links in a wheel, like I described, and what you do is you link three of those to that main article on the Web 2.0 property, if that makes sense. So you don't link all four, because then that gives a footprint which Google can see. But by only doing three, that you avoid that problem. And then what you've got, effectively, is three levels of page, if that makes sense. You've got your own site, that one you want to rank, you've got the main Web 2.0 property with your main article on it, then you've got the other four articles linked together and linked where, which are linking back. And what you do is you basically divide your link building into three categories. And, you know, premier links, so from high page rank, gov.gov sites, your main links, which are pretty safe to use, and you're not going to go and blast a whole load of links. You know, you build them steadily over time. They can go straight to your own site. And then they sort of would then echo the link from the Squidoo lens. Then your second degree links, which would be, you know, lower page rank, more of them, perhaps a bit of link building, a high quality link builder could build some links, and you target those not at your own page, but at your Squidoo lens. And that's starting to boost that, you see, and then that's being passed on to your website. And then you blast all kinds of links at the other web 2.0 properties, the other four articles, and you're not really worried. If one of those articles drops down, you're not worried. Even if they're not listed, it doesn't matter, because what matters is the page rank being passed to the Squidoo lens, and that being passed on then to your own site, if that makes sense. And that's a way to protect your site. Do old-fashioned link building and get lots and lots of links, but protect your site at the same time. So that's just some basic SEO there, three sort of simple tactics for people to use, albeit the second one, the silo site structure, is a bit time-consuming. Third one, you know, takes effort as well. Not quite as much, but it still takes effort to do, probably, but well worth doing. And this is the kind of thing that I've done. I've also got some other things that work quite well in SEO. One thing that is really good is to create an RSS feed, and you can do that for a static page by using Feedity. But I'm not sure, that might be an aggregator. But anyway, there's a website where you can actually create an RSS feed for a static page. If you've got a blog which is using WordPress, then there's already RSS feed built in. And then what you do is you submit your RSS feed to a site like Feedag, which is an aggregator. And that is a very good way of getting traffic. In fact, when I did that using a very competitive keyword, I went straight onto page one for that one tactic, and then I got some free content coming onto the site. That probably doesn't work quite as well now, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. And I got a very high profile link from a high page rank site. It was actually Technorati, and I got a sticky link from Technorati, and that boosted my website to page rank 3. And then I did a tactic where you buy an old domain and you redirect it. And so basically you buy the old domain and you put a permanent redirect onto that domain to your website, and that boosts the page rank, and the page rank of the old site will then be echoed by the new site. And I got a squeeze page to page rank 3 doing that, and I got my blog to page rank 5 by doing that tactic. So, you know, these things, and that they're all quite easy to do. The AG domain obviously costs a bit of money. It's $100 to $200 to buy a decent domain that is worth doing that with. But, you know, that was a worthwhile tactic, just to sort of add to the SEO. Okay, so is all that clear? Is anything you wanted to have clarified on that?
No, I think everything is clear about traffic.
Okay, very good. So, should we move on to the next one then, which is video marketing? Okay, so let's talk about video marketing then. And this is a great tactic because it is still relatively free in terms of, you know, it's not complex. People are able to do it themselves, create a video. you know, most PCs have Windows Movie Maker, and my wife's secretary learned how to do it in about half an hour. We made a very, very good movie. In fact, we got it put on a DVD. So we actually created a DVD with a handycam, you know, a handheld recorder, video recorder. So that's, you know, a great way of producing a video. But obviously, most people would perhaps in internet marketing use screen capture to capture the screen of their website and show them things step by step, or to do PowerPoints and do bullet points. And the great thing about that is it takes a lot less time to write a video than it does an article, because article has to be, you know, read, and obviously all the content is in the red. But with a video, what you can do is you can have bullet points and then just read it and talk as you go. And people look at the bullet points, and it hasn't got to be quite so well scripted and everything. And I think it's quite possible in for people who have practiced at using video to create a video in the same time as it is to create an article. But the advantage of a video is that you can submit it to YouTube, which is owned by Google. And of course, because there's a level of difficulty with video, it's still not as saturated as article marketing is. You know, what happened with article marketing was that the submission marketing came in, which I distinguish from article marketing, because genuine article marketing was actually writing a good article and putting on Ezon articles and other article directors, and then it's taken by somebody when it's really good and spread around, and you get links that way, you know, and that was article marketing. And that still works if it's done properly. But what Google got very jumpy about was people submitting mass, huge amount of articles which were just spun. And, you know, they wanted to find a way of recognizing that, and it's a way of manipulating the search engine. They don't like that, because it's people trying to get a poorer website to rank above a good website, and that's not good for the user, and that's not good for Google, that's not good for their market share. So they're against us doing that. You know, this is the whole thing. We want our websites to be genuinely good and useful for our users. But to come back to video marketing, it's not as difficult as people perhaps think to make a video. You know, the best thing to do is to try and just try your best. If you get stuck, go to YouTube itself and look for a tutorial to teach you how to do, you know, whatever it is you're doing. If it's using a video camera, if it's using Camtasia screen capture software, or some other way of creating a video, then, you know, look it up on YouTube itself. And what you can do is you can make a video, and then you basically submit that, and it doesn't have to be very long. It has to be interesting. It has to, you know, give a message. And what you really want people to do is to give them enough to be informed, enough to think, oh, hang on, this person really knows what they're talking about, and I want to know more. But then it doesn't give you everything, so that they have got an incentive to click through and actually go to your website, because that is the problem with video marketing. I mean, video marketing works in several different ways, which I'll cover in a second, but when somebody actually goes to YouTube and watches the video, then that's not going to your site. And most likely, when you do video marketing, the video is going to rank before your website does. So you've got a kind of two-step process going on, which is the disadvantage. But if you do it well, it is possible to get people to view your video and then go to your link. And the way that I do that is you get a certain number of characters of information to put about the video, and you put your URL at first, and actually, you know, put a call to action in as well. Put a call to action in the video and put it in that box of information, the info box, and put your URL first and say, you know, what they're going to get if they click through, and so on. But it's very simple to make an informative video which is catchy and looks good. You know, it hasn't got to be like a sort of TV advert or something like that. It just has to inform, has to catch people's imagination, has to, you know, inspire people to know more. That's what you're looking to do. So obviously you want to take them through a process. You have like a kind of a headline, although it wouldn't be a long one. And then bullet points, again, you keep them short and catchy to capture interest. And so how do we get traffic from videos? Well, like I say, the most likely way is that when you target a particular keyword with a video, so in other words, you actually get a number of keywords to put into your video, what it's about, and you know, you choose a keyword well, not over competitive, well targeted, then that will probably rank on page one. There's a good chance of it doing so, and the video will actually rank and people will go to it there, submitted to YouTube. By the way, you can multi submit videos, although of course now I think that you can spot the same video, so you want to change it a little bit. You can actually get a video spinner which produces very low quality videos, but that's just for mass, so that's really going back to the sort of the article submission, but doing it for videos. And at the moment Google hasn't sort of caught on to that, but that could be a short term tactic. So it's better to, you know, use the same idea but just make a fresh video so that it's totally different, and then submit that one and so on and so on and so on and so on. And if you've got an article, if you've got a video that does rank well and is doing really well, then just remake it slightly different, but and submit that to another video sharing site like Vimeo, and there are others as well. If you want a list, then Google list of video sharing sites, and that will give you the what you need. So the main way is the actual video itself ranking, and then people go to watch the video, and then hopefully, if you've done your job right, they click through to your website. But of course, what you can do, you can actually put the video on your own site. You could put it as a blog post, and you can SEO the blog post. So you would use a plugin for the WordPress blog, which would give SEO facilities and enable you to optimize that page. And that could help it rank, so that your actual site's ranking then. And then of course you can have for instance an opt-in box below the video, or you could do that for a static page, put a video on, and you know, you SEO that and hope that ranks as well. So that's really the two ways of getting traffic from video, is direct to your website and through video sharing sites. But it's a very, very simple tactic, video. And it's very easy to produce a high quality video by in just, you know, a bit of time. Perhaps the first time it's going to be a few hours, but when you get practiced, you can probably make one in, you know, maybe an hour, maybe less, maybe a bit more, but around about that kind of time, not very much at all. You know, it's possible to make quite a few videos in one day, put your mind to it. And there is this free software on every PC, Windows Movie Maker. I tend to use Camtasia, which costs about $200 or $300, but I went to eBay, I think it was, or maybe Amazon, and bought a second-hand copy. And I also bought an updated copy I think it was last year, of Camtasia, so, and I got it for $30. So it is possible to get, you know, the latest, or certainly one that works very well. So I bought version 6, I think it was, when version 7 came out, and it's, you know, it's my first time using it. It was absolutely fine. I didn't know what the extra features were anyway, so that's absolutely brilliant. You can get free ones. There's one called Cam Studio, which is sort of free source, so it's generally available on the internet. But the trouble with that is it's low quality and it's very memory hungry. So I did actually make a set of videos with it, and then I had to convert them into MP4, and they weren't brilliant. They informed well, they did their job, but the quality was low, and I didn't like it from that point of view. But you know, video marketing is very, very underrated. People know how successful it is, but they shy away from it because they think it's hard to make videos. But it isn't. And of course, the good thing about getting into video marketing is when you get good and practiced at using video, then the possibility of doing video sales pages opens up. And that, of course, is great, because that does make you stand out as a marketer if you're doing video sales pages. And I'm just waiting for some information to come back about the conversion rate on video sales pages. So that's just a brief overview of video marketing. I've got one more traffic tactic, which I put down as free because basically you don't really exchange money, although there is a bit of work involved in it. But I think this is the best free traffic tactic that you can get, and that is affiliate marketing. Affiliate marketing. And what I mean by that is not you getting an affiliate link and then promoting it, but you recruiting affiliates. So it's really like JV partners. You're recruiting affiliates and you're also getting JV partners, joint venture partners, to partner with you, like we're doing tonight, Ernest. But this is a joint venture, this interview. Every interview you do is a joint venture. You know, there's a relationship being built up. When you've done an interview like this, our relationship will most likely be stronger than it was before. And it might lead to other things. You know, it might lead to cross-promotion of our websites and that kind of thing. So let me just distinguish between JV partners and affiliates, because the terms aren't synonymous. They're not interchangeable. An affiliate basically is somebody who sells your website. They promote your website, but you don't really know them. You don't really interact with them a great deal. You probably inform them by autoresponder email. So if you say had 50 to 100 affiliates, you'd send out the same email to all 100 or 50 or whatever number it was. You know, they're just a number in a sense, and they're all the same as far as you're concerned. Okay, some are going to do well, some are not going to do so well. Some won't sell anything. Most affiliates won't sell anything, but some will, and some will do pretty well. You know, and obviously, you can always go back to those people and then try and offer them some incentive to promote other sites or to promote more often, or you know, you can ask them about their business and how it fits in, and you can perhaps spot something in that it might be more profitable for both of you to adjust. But an affiliate is somebody who's a little bit of a distance, and you certainly want affiliates to promote your products, because that's basically free traffic, and it's good traffic. If people are selling your products to their list, then that's very, very good traffic indeed. And also, if you're getting those subscribers, then you're going to find that those people will be very, very high value to you, very well worthwhile. So recruiting affiliates is really, really vital and really, really worthwhile. I'll come back to how we might do that in a minute and the kind of ways that you can do it, you know, simply and straightforwardly. Can't go into great depth, obviously. But I just wanted to mention what a JV partner is. A JV partner is something totally different. A JV partner is somebody you have a special relationship with. For example, I do with Trevor Dumbleton. And I think you might do too. And we might well do after this call and so on. You know, this is the way it works. So in other words, it's somebody that you've done something like this kind of, this is the sort of basic doing an interview. But then you might, you know, share a website, you might do a product launch together, that kind of thing. That's a JV partner. In other words, it's a joint venture. The venture is the new website, the venture is the new product, and you joint venture with them. But of course, joint venture partners also will promote your websites. And these are the people that really, really do well. I mean, the truth is that my coaching took off because Trevor promoted it. I'd met Trevor the previous Thursday, yeah, because he lives in a town near me, and we were posting on the Warrior Forum. He noticed that I was nearby and just sent me an email, and we met up for coffee. And then the next week I launched my coaching program as a WSO, and he promoted it, and more than half my sales have come from him, and a lot of the early ones came from him. So that just shows you the value of a JV partner. I've got other people that mail for me, and I've got other people that, you know, would, if I said, oh, let's do this, they would probably certainly consider it if it was fitted in with their business. And let me tell you about one man, Aaron Layton, and what happened with him was I saw that he had got one of these, like kind of almost like a product page with lots of products on. So in other words, it's like a multi-product page where he was selling the products. And I noticed that there was a product on there that I downloaded as a private label product, and I wasn't very impressed with it. And I noticed he got it on that list. And I thought, I bet he doesn't realize how low quality that is. And he probably wouldn't be very impressed if he did know. And so I said, look, I've got an alternative to that. Would you like me to get an e-cover done for you? So I went to my e-cover creator, a chap living in the East, and from cheapestcovers.com. And I gave him the spec, and I told him, I asked Aaron what kind of colours he liked and that kind of thing, and you know what he wanted so he gave me an idea, and I passed that on and got an e-cover created. And plus, at that time, the chap from Cheapest Covers was producing a bonus to his e-covers when it was for an e-book because he would actually produce a little Word document with where you'd have a header and a footer on every page, and it looked really, really smart. So I got that for him as well. And I put the private label products that I knew was a lot better made a PDF and sent it to Aaron. He's absolutely thrilled. And, you know, I just did that one thing, and all it cost me was a bit of time, because I already had the PLR product, and $30 for the e-cover. And he was absolutely pleased as punch. One of the best $30 I've ever spent, and got a great JV partner from it. I've done bigger things than that, and I might have done smaller things than that, but with more or less success. Sometimes it's not been my fault that things have not gone right, because I've done things for people at the wrong time, or I've done the wrong thing for somebody because I've suggested what to do and they said, oh yeah, that's great, but then it didn't quite work out for me. You know, that's the way it is, but you pay your money and you take your choice. But doing something for somebody, that is the way to impress a higher level marketer and get them to work with you. You know, that's what you want to be doing, Ernest, in your niche. I believe you're in internet marketing, aren't you? Look for other marketers and see what you can do. Ask them the question. Say, you know, what can I do for you? You don't have to say yes, do you? I know you'd want to, because obviously you want to build a relationship. But if they say something quite reasonable that you could do for them, then do it. Or, you know, make a suggestion if you see something that you think they could benefit from. Or you could ask them, say, you know, is there some area where you struggle to get people to do something, you know, something that you're good at, like, you know, I don't know, uploading blogs, for example, or producing e-covers, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of things, and suggest it and see what you get. And that's the way to get JV partners. But a JV partner is somebody that you have a special relationship with, and you'd probably be doing, you know, business with in some level, in some way, for many years. And those, of course, are the people who will always be your best affiliates, because when you do a product launch, they'll almost certainly promote it, and so on. Although I must admit, people are getting pickier and pickier these days, because their lists are becoming less and less responsive. But anyway, that's how to get a JD partner. The thing about affiliates is that it's quite simple to use a platform in order to sell a product. Of course, the classic one for internet marketers is Warrior Plus, where when you set up a WSO, you also link it to Warrior Plus, and therefore affiliates are able to promote your Warrior special offer. And that's a great way of testing a product in internet marketing, and also building relationship with the affiliates who jump on board. And of course, the way to do that is to produce a lot of WSOs, so that the affiliates are looking for you, and then when you produce something, they come out. And if it's always selling well, they'll end up promoting automatically from you. And you know, there are certain people who promote nearly every WSO that comes out, which of course is not very effective, but at least it does give you some traction and will give you some sales. But what you really want is somebody like Trevor, who's more of a JV partner, and you know that's possible even with Warrior Plus. And then there's JVZoo, which is another platform which works very similar to Warrior Plus, but obviously is not related to the Warrior Forum, and has other than internet marketing products, so it does tend to be internet marketing products on there. And that works in a similar way in terms of the payment. Hardly affiliates are paid. It might be instant pay to PayPal. That's what Warrior Plus use, that's what JVZoo use. And that's becoming a very popular platform to link to websites. So that's the way to get affiliates is to have JVZoo. Of course, the classic one is ClickBank, but it does cost money to list products on ClickBank. It costs $50, or it did do when I last did it. Maybe it's gone up. And so you want to know that that site converts. And of course, affiliates are going to want to know that your website converts in order to promote your product. So you've got to make sure that you've done the front end, that what's most important first, before you go ahead and start trying to recruit affiliates and JV partners. So what else have we got then? Yeah, okay. What I've done now is got my own affiliate software, and this really is the best, because what you can do with this is you would recruit affiliates to your products, and then every time you brought out a new product, you would email them, because obviously when they join as an affiliate, they go onto an emailing list, so they get emailed automatically. And that's how to get multiple products promoted by multiple affiliates, is to have your own bit of affiliate software. And in fact, recently I got software set up on my website, and I'm just loading up products now. I've got the first one, and I've been testing that. So I'm getting ready to roll that out and produce, put all my websites on, link them to all that affiliate software, so that what happens is when somebody joins, they see all the other products, and then they can choose those. And that works through, because now PayPal has got their API, automatic payment interface, I think is what it is, then that's working now. So they again would get paid directly into their PayPal account. Absolutely brilliant. But that's a great way to get affiliates and have your own affiliate software. I mean, what happens normally is that costs about $2,000 to purchase, and then you've got all the work of adding everything on. So it is quite a big project, but well worthwhile. And that's really the ultimate, is to have your own, load of products all being promoted by affiliates. That's where the big money is made. The big launches, well, yeah, they produce a lot, but then it's the multiple products by multiple affiliates over a period of time where the big money is. And that's why affiliate marketing is such a good traffic method, because it means that, you're getting free traffic, and you're getting good and targeted traffic, and it's buy traffic. Absolutely brilliant traffic method. And if anybody, is looking for traffic method and wants to pick one, then that's definitely one to try. If you want to know how to recruit affiliates, I'm really running out of time now, so I can't go into that, but I've given you that one way of building a relationship with somebody. Obviously you can email people, and that's not very effective to do that, but you could do that. Or what you could do is you could perhaps again put a keyword into YouTube and say how to recruit affiliates, tell me how to recruit affiliates. And there are various websites available, and people sell products on how to do this. There's Affiliate Army, and there's various other products that are around that teach you how to recruit affiliates and get sales that way. Okay, so that's basically three main free traffic methods. Perhaps you can just come in there and just ask me some questions for clarification if necessary.
Well, I think everything seems to be clear.
Does it? Excellent. Oh, that's really, really good. Thank you for that. I appreciate that
very
much.
Yeah, that was a lot of content, really. And thank you very much.
No, it's great to have you here, and I'm pleased to be of service. And I hope this is going to be very useful for all your people, Ernest. I really hope that they take the, pick up the baton, as it were, with these traffic methods. And then the thing to do with traffic is, one thing I didn't really emphasize at the beginning, which I should have done, is that does take effort and you've got to be committed. So it's important to do a bit of research and decide on your traffic method and then stick at it. You know, every time you switch, it's like doing a lot of work on a car, and then you sell the car and all that work's being wasted. Well, it's just like that. And people flip from one traffic method to another. And it's best to stick, you know, these are proven traffic methods that I'm talking about. SEO, video marketing, affiliate marketing as a traffic method. They're proven, they're tested, there's training all over the internet to help people do this. And the thing to do is to pick one or two of those. I mean, what you could do in our case is the SEO could be a one-time. You know, when you're setting the website up, you've got the one that you know converts, you do a bit of SEO on it, or you pay for that to be done, that's one time. But then your regular effort goes into your video marketing and your affiliate marketing, or whatever traffic method it is. But don't flip from one to another, and don't, you know, because that looks suspicious to Google, doesn't it? When there's a bit of traffic in, a bit of traffic there, and a bit of this and a bit of that, it's got to be consistent effort, and that is what wins the race. The action taking, and you know, there's a lot of legwork involved in traffic. That's why few people succeed. So what's important is people decide that they're going to be the person that does make the effort, and that is where the success will come from. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. So let me just ask you, what traffic methods do you use, or are you planning to use?
Well, I plan to use mostly paid traffic methods because I don't have that much time.
Oh, yes.
But if
okay.
I used free traffic methods, I'd probably go for SEO and video marketing.
Okay,
and even social marketing, which you didn't mention.
No, I don't really know much about that, to be honest.
Yeah,
obviously, I've got an idea what you do, but I'm not the best person for that. But maybe you could. That's another product for you there.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, take care.
And you.